Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
All I hear about is how great the Packers are going to be. Let me just remind you that if you don't, with a fingertip, block the field goal to beat the Bears in Chicago, you go 0-6 in the division. 0-6, not win a game. And then we rolled in and beat your ass in Lambeau, the end of the season. So I think the Packers are headed for a dead last finish in the division.
That is the voice of David Kaplan from Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown. Primetime Warshine behind the glasses is Jim, Matt, and Molly. And Cap, thanks for joining us. I am obviously in a very good mood and in good spirits. And the first thing that I've noticed from afar, as I watch every week, I watch the Good, Better, Best video from Ben Johnson, is that the Bears...
Right there, buddy.
Dork.
Right there.
Right. I love it.
Oh, my God. That's
I love
so
it.
Embarrassing.
I love it. And so not every coach needs to manicure their eyebrows like LaFleur. They focus
on... Oh, they just need to wax their chest like Ben Johnson. You're right.
Hey, he's not afraid to show off what he's working with there. But I think both guys that got the game ball said, job's not finished. We need to go beat the Packers. And they still have a bad and sour taste in their mouth from the loss. So I love the fact that the Bears seem no longer afraid of the Packers, and I think that's because Aaron Rodgers is not there and Ben Johnson's in Chicago.
I don't think the Aaron factor really matters. I think they would love to have tried to beat Aaron Rodgers. Last time they did that was 2018 when they clinched the NFC North with Mitch Trubisky leading the way to a 24-17 win over Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, but we'll leave that to the side. I don't want Molly to get upset. The interesting thing is this city is alive. They are on fire, back in first place where they belong in the NFC North. And I'm telling you, this team is so focused on what Saturday night is going to be like. And I think it's going to be electric. It's going to be loud. It's not going to be bitter cold like it was this past Sunday when wind chills hit near 30 below. I think we're going to have, you know, temperatures in the 30s. And so I expect a dry track, and I expect a hell of a football game. So if you guys can pull yourself out of the fetal position because Micah Parsons went down.
Hey.
And realize you still have other good players who you guys have all turned your back on. I'm hearing all these different people up there because I have a home in Wisconsin. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's over. It's not over. We'll be there to compete. I hope you guys are, too.
I mean, I hope that the Packers are there to compete as well. It's just if you watch this Packers defense and you see how much they even struggle, even when Micah Parsons is on the field, how much they let the Broncos walk all over them, like, this defense is going to have a serious problem, especially when you think back to just a couple weeks ago when they played the Bears at Lambeau. The only guy that could chase down Caleb Williams was Micah Parsons. Rashawn Gary looked like a fool out there compared to Caleb Williams. So, like, and that is all credit to Caleb Williams. He's incredibly athletic. It's fun watching him. As a Packer fan, I hate it. But we all heard you talking in the clip as we came into this segment about how the Packers were going to be dead last in the NFC North based on how they did last year against all the other NFC North teams. What are your thoughts on how this division is shaking out so far this year?
Well, if things go the way that I'm hoping, the Bears win on Saturday. You guys find a way to whiz down your leg in another of your final two games. The Bears already have it clinched, so the last game on Sunday at the end of the year is against the Lions, and Ben Johnson goes, we're already in. We're already locked into our seed, probably the two seed. And guess what? I'm going to sit my guys. So Dan Campbell gets in, and Green Bay goes home. That would be an amazing way to finish the season with the Packers not even in the playoffs. We'll see. I'm just worried about this Saturday. But, you know, I'm getting really tired of everybody in Wisconsin. They know who they are, Ben Brust included. last three games, Green Bay defense, 20th in the National Football League. Chicago, 7th. That's yards per game allowed. How about 17th in the NFL on the road in yards allowed, 14th at home for the Chicago Bears. So I'm just looking at all of the numbers. The ability 2 weeks ago, I was there to watch the Bears' offensive line run the ball down the Packers' throat in the second half. Caleb Williams had an outstanding second half. He was magnificent against the Cleveland Browns. And before anyone goes, they're the Cleveland Browns. They beat your ass. So let me just make sure everybody's clear. We'll be there to compete on Saturday night. It's going to be electric. You better bring your A game, Green Bay.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. I know that they lost to the Cleveland Browns, and that's why I wanted the Browns to beat the snot out of the Bears this past weekend, but they didn't. No, I'm glad that you brought up other shows, though, up here at ESPN Wisconsin, because I actually heard Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Gabe was trying to tell Mark Tremura that the Bears' defense is bad. Do you agree with that?
I do not. Absolutely do not. And it looks like they're going to have a good chance to get a guy who will probably be going to the Pro Bowl. Tremaine Edmonds had his window to return from IR opened yesterday. And there is a strong chance if this week goes well for him and he feels healthy that he could be playing on Saturday night. We won't have Kyler Gordon. We won't have Rome Odunze. Luther Burton, that one's a little more iffy. We're not sure what's going to happen there. That is a big loss. No question about it. But if you really compare the two rosters and how this Bears thing has developed, the Bears have the better roster. I truly believe that. If I was drafting today and I could have Jordan Love or Caleb Williams, I'll take Caleb Williams 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. And I want to see how your defensive line with no Devontae Wyatt, no Micah Parsons, I want to see how you handle Joe Tooney, going to be a first-team All-Pro. Drew Dahlman, probably a Pro Bowler. Jonah Jackson might go to a Pro Bowl. Darnell Wright might go to a Pro Bowl. That is the best offensive line, maybe other than the Colts, in the National Football League. I want to see how the Packer defense handles it.
Okay, hold on. I know, Jim, you got to cut in here. But you sound like the Chicago Bears are like going to the Super Bowl at this point in time. Like, that is where your confidence level is at. Can you please say one negative thing about the Chicago Bears team?
Yeah, we don't get to the quarterback enough. We don't. So this offseason, instead of going and having to get Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, and Jonah Jackson, I want to go trade for either Myles Garrett if he gets moved, or the kid Max Crosby out in Las Vegas reportedly could be moved. I want to go make that addition because I do think the Bears are setting themselves up for a really strong run with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. It will sicken all of you in cheese country, but guess what? Get ready. Put a little salt and pepper on it because it's coming your way.
Love it. And I remember, Molly, I got a lot of heat at the beginning of the year where I said the Packers had the fourth best roster in the NFC North.
Yeah, I didn't disagree with you.
But it is shaping out and looking better and better for the Bears. That was pre-Micah Parsons. But Caleb Williams, up here everyone talks about the Toyota-thon Jordan Love. Caleb Williams, the last kind of week and a half, and honestly last couple games, has really been putting it all together. And for me, Cap, it's what Ben Johnson predicted, that one, Caleb has to learn everything pre-snap, and then he has to learn everything that's going to happen in the game. And then the last thing to come will be the accuracy and the confidence. That looks like he might be having his own Toyota-thon or his own breakout here. And I'm actually not putting off the table of Caleb playing his best football, which is what Ben Johnson predicted for the Bears in December here.
Yeah, Ben Johnson said, you'll see us play our best football in December. That's absolutely what he said. And look, we got to remember something. Jordan Love's in year six, three as the starter, but six in the same system. Caleb Williams has been in that system for 14 games. That's it. Mm-hmm. He left an absolute train wreck from a year ago. Ben Johnson rolls in. Caleb says, coach me hard. That's what I want. I want to be the best I can be. And Ben Johnson said, you asked for it, you're going to get it. And I told this story recently on an interview that Kevin Byard, who I'm really good friends with, we were on the phone and he said, I have to go double back to the facility. I forgot something in my locker. He had gone home to have dinner with his wife and kids. He gets to the facility at 6:30 in the morning. He tries to get home by 5 if they're done with all their stuff so he can have a dinner with his wife and young kids. He said, I run back at 7 o'clock to the facility. It's 10 minutes away. I pull in the parking lot and there's only two cars. Everyone else is gone. Building's dark. But I see one light on. He goes, I walk up there. He said, who's there? And they've been there since 5:30 in the morning. Well, that'd be Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. He said, these two are joined at the hip. It is so cool to see. And Caleb is in complete control of this offense. It's just going to keep taking reps. But with that arm, the throw he made to DJ Moore the other day, I don't know three guys in the world that can make that throw. And then Colston Loveland. Yep. Colston Loveland is showing you why he was the number 10 pick overall. That dude is a beast.
He is. For Packer fans, he's set to surpass Tucker Kraft's best season in the NFL in Colston Loveland's rookie season in the NFL. With the, you talked about the throws that Caleb's making now, and I'm sure you watch this with the Packer games, and Jordan Love has these throws where you're like, how in God's name did that ball get to the guy? But they feel different than Caleb's. Caleb's seem, but it could just be a fan's eye. What are your thoughts on the kind of Jordan Love balls that Caleb's been throwing now? Are they the same thing? Are they different? These sort of kind of, I can't believe the ball got to the receiver type throws.
That's just who he is. And Ben Johnson has said, if you get picked off a few times, as long as your thought process was correct on where you were going with the football, you under, like 2 weeks ago, you underthrew a wide open Cole Kmet because you were, I timed it with a stopwatch. He was 0.6 seconds late releasing the football. 0.6 seconds earlier, Cole Kmet's open. You dump it over the top, and the Bears, Ben told the media, guess what? We're going, probably going for two. We were probably going for two. I was there. You were all watching. It would have been absolutely amazing theater if the Bears go for two. They'd already gotten a 2-point in that game to walk out of Lambeau with a last second victory. Didn't happen. Guess what? We'll tee it up on Saturday.
We were listening to the Bose game show on our drive home on
ESPN. So we went to the game, and I mean, obviously our team here in Wisconsin does a great post game, but I couldn't handle it, so I turned on the ESPN Chicago post game with the ESPN Chicago app. But yeah, we saw that game. It was down to the wire. These games have been down to the wire. But the one other thing that I think fans up here, and Molly, you kind of said this, that everyone still has this idea, this is the same old Bears, this is going to be a blip. I know you talked about Ben Johnson, but I don't think people fully understand the juxtaposition of where that locker room's mentality was, where they were headspace-wise, and just the overall vibe of the team under Eberflus as opposed to Ben Johnson right now. And it really, this is a team that's almost catching up to the expectations and what they should have been doing if they had a more competent coach. And so this isn't a surprise if you look at their roster and just realize Eberflus incompetent, Ben Johnson elite.
Yeah, look, Matt Eberflus, you don't become an NFL head coach if you're not a pretty intelligent dude in the football world. Matt Eberflus was not cut out to be a head coach. Maybe he can coordinate a defense. Maybe he's brilliant X's and O's. But in terms of standing in front of 53 guys and holding people accountable, the first meeting Ben Johnson had, the very first one, he walked in and guys are kind of sitting back like this. And they've got their breakfast while they're listening to him talk. He gets about 5 seconds into his first meeting. This is from somebody in the room. And he goes, hang on a second. What the F is this? What are you talking about, coach? What's with the breakfast? We're here to work. Get that blankety blank here. We don't do that any longer. You're going to sit up straight. You're going to pay attention. And you're going to be freaking held accountable here. And they said, you don't want to go to a film session on a Monday because you didn't take care of your responsibility. You can make a mistake physically, but false start, or you didn't line up properly, or you, illegal formation. He said, that dude's going to put it up on the big screen, and he is going to air you out in front of your teammates. He said, it's not fun. You don't want to be part of it.
All right, Cap, so you made the prediction of what happens if the Packers lose. They're just basically going to spiral for the rest of the season, according to you. What happens if the Chicago Bears lose to the Packers at home on Saturday?
I didn't predict it. I just said I'm hoping for it.
Well, it's a prediction. On Saturday, what happens if the Bears lose to the Packers at home on Saturday?
Do you want my prediction on, or what happens if the Bears lose?
I just mean if the Bears, like, what happens if the Bears lose? Then they've got the 49ers, then they've got the Lions at home. Like, what happens the rest of their season if they lose to the Packers this weekend?
I mean, you got to find a way to win at least one more. I would think then it would come down to win or lose against the 49ers the following week out west, the last game at Chicago against the Lions. Detroit could have already been eliminated. Mm-hmm. If they lose to the Steelers this week, they're in a real world of hurts to try and get in. They could be eliminated. If the Bears win and the Lions lose, it's over. Bears are in the playoffs. So this weekend, the Bears could have locked up a playoff spot. So if they lose, it'll suck. You go back to work and you find a way to beat the 49ers, and then you worry about the Lions after that. I do believe the Bears will win Saturday night. I think it's going to be a hornet's nest. I do. I think the Packers have no idea what they're walking into. This is a pissed off team, and this is a team with talent. You have got a bunch of Pro Bowl caliber or all pro caliber guys on your O-line. We're going to be banged up in the wide receiver room for sure. You've got a run game that's as good as any in the National Football League. Oh, and 2 weeks ago in your building where you guys play better, they ran it down your throat in the second half. I was sitting in the stands and I'm listening to Packerman. So like, what is going on here? These guys are getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards a clip. Guess what? You're going to get a heavy dose of that, and when you least expect it, Caleb's going downtown.
Cap, I was going to ask your prediction, so why don't you just put some numbers on that, because you kind of gave us a prediction here, but why don't you give us a score prediction then?
Bears win at 27-17, 27-17, and I do not think they'll blitz Jordan Love as much as they did the last time. Jordan's pretty good against the blitz. I don't think you'll see as much. There'll be some well-timed C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Jaquan Brisker-type blitzes, but they're going to ask Montez Sweat and Grady Jarrett and Austin Booker, can you guys please get home? And if they can handle stopping the run game, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a happy night in Chicago. But they'll be there to compete. They'll be there to fight.
I like it. I'm hoping for it. I would love this game to feel not like something I'm going to have a heart attack during. So if they can kind of hold them at arm's length, I think I would enjoy that a little bit more.
27-17. Book it.
Thanks, Cap.
You guys have a great day. Bear down.
Bear Thank down. Right from Cap. Cap and Jay Hood, David Kaplan, thanks for joining us. You can watch that back on ESPN Madison's YouTube on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And don't forget about Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton, home of the Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl Happy Hour. Go check out Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I only know people who use cream cheese on bagels.
I've had it on toast. That's good.
Cream cheese on toast?
Toast? We don't have any bagels.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly. My God. Desperate. Molly's like, in a pinch, you can throw it on some white bread.
I think cream cheese is worse for you than Molly's realizing, by the way.
Oh, it 100% is. I, quite frankly, don't know what cream cheese is.
And you don't care.
I don't care.
Well, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.